Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
The Junks are presented by Crop Metcalf, the official heating and cooling company of the Junks. If you're looking to be the next five-star HVAC technician or plumber, just go to CropMetcalf.com to join their team. Right now, we are going to be joined by Kevin McCarthy from Fox 5.
Hey.
He's on the BetQL guest hotline. Hello, Kevin. Good morning.
Good morning, Papa Squeezies.
Kevin, listen to me carefully.
Mm-hmm.
It's Jason and Cakes.
Right.
It's two-man
show. There's no
show
Bickle.
Today.
There's no John Paul Flynn.
I mean, you're welcome to do jokes about EB, like, falling asleep during your review, which generally would happen. You can do that, but he's not here, and Papa JP not here as well, just to let you know.
Well, Eric's not there because he's literally sleeping through my review right now.
Correct.
He would be, yes.
That's exactly what he's doing.
And you know what?
Speaking
of sleeping through reviews, I think you slept on giving us the Ghostbusters Frozen Empire review last week, number one movie at the box office.
I did, and this is why Eric's off today, because we all know that he loves science fiction movies so much. So you know he's lined up to go
also,
see the
movie. And also, Kevin, Jason, close and personal friends with one of the stars, probably the biggest star in Ghostbusters Frozen Empire,
Paul Rudd. It's my boy.
Wait, Jason, you really know Paul Rudd?
Yeah. I met him a few years ago, and we exchanged cells, and we text every once in a while.
What?
Yeah.
Wait, I didn't tell you that. No, dude, I talked to Paul Rudd. I mean, from a professional standpoint, I probably interview him 2 times a year.
Well, next time you talk to him, tell him that you and I are colleagues, and I talk to Paul Rudd probably 4 or 5 times a year, usually about Kansas basketball, because he's a big Kansas Jayhawks fan.
I know he's a big sports fan. Mm-hmm. I know he's also a major Chiefs fan because I always see him on the field at Chiefs games.
Correct.
Forgive me if you told this in the show before. I've not heard this story. How do you exchange numbers with Paul Rudd?
When I met him, he was just very friendly. We started talking about sports, and I said, hey, you know, I do a radio show in D.C., sports radio show. Any chance we can get you on the show just to talk about Kansas hoops? And he said, sure, and he gave me his number.
And did he call in?
No, we tried to get him a couple times, but he was busy. You know, he was not working on movies and stuff. So maybe we'll get him next year before the college hoop starts.
Maybe he was busy making those Marvel films. Jeez,
correct.
That's incredible.
Correct.
Dude, this is like bombshell news. I had no idea. Dude, I literally just talked to him. I interviewed him 3 weeks ago.
And his wife, Julie, very, very attractive and very cool.
Oh my gosh! This is you know what? Pardon the terrible pun here.
I'm sorry, I blew you away today. I'm sorry. Anyway, let him know that you and I are colleagues next time you talk.
Does he know about the pop 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 pop?
Yeah, he knows about the pop 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 pop.
Yeah,
he knows
he's in on that personal joke. I'm so sure.
Right.
So next time Paul Rudd and I sit down, when they ask me to sleep my name, I'm going to go, yeah, I'm Kevin McCarthy from pop 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 pop
pop pop pop pop pop pop pop. And he'll go, what are you doing? All right, so hold on. What about Ghostbusters 2? Is it called Ghostbusters 2?
No, it's Ghostbusters Frozen Empire.
Oh, Frozen
Jason,
Empire.
Just so you know.
Okay. Gotcha.
So funny. Yeah, so obviously 40 years since the first Ghostbusters, these movies have been a part of everyone's lives generationally. The first two Ghostbusters, I think you guys can agree, are just like the greatest. Those are the two best ones. I remember being a kid and seeing the second one with the painting and like how creepy that was with the painting comes to life or the eyes moved in the painting. You know, I think there's a lot to say about the filmmaking that was done in those original Ghostbusters, and I think this new one kind of brings that back. We have old school practical effects mixed in with obviously modern technology, but you know, if people who look up, just go look up behind the scenes videos of the original Ghostbusters, how they filmed like the Stay Puft Marshmallow, how they did the proton pack streams and all these things. It was all really cool, classic practical effects. You guys remember the scene in the first Ghostbusters when the egg starts to cook itself on the counter?
I do remember that, yes.
Vaguely, yeah, so vaguely.
Well, for people who don't, there's a scene where Sigourney Weaver comes home with her groceries, and essentially she has a carton of eggs, and like something is going crazy in her apartment. Obviously, we find out what that is later on. But they built this contraption where they heated up the countertop so that the egg could literally cook in camera practically, because back then you didn't, you know, you have CGI. But to me, that looks better than most effects in movies now that are using CGI. So the reason I'm mentioning all that is fast forward to this movie now, and they're utilizing some of those old school technical effects to kind of bring back that classic nature of the Ghostbusters. This new Ghostbusters, to me, is the closest to the first two. I don't necessarily think it's anywhere near as great as the first two, but this is the first one that I'd seen in a long time that kind of reminded me of the magic of my childhood. And so Jason Reitman wrote this movie. You guys know this story, but Jason Reitman, his father, Ivan Reitman, is the director of the first two Ghostbusters. Ivan passed away a couple years ago. And so Jason, his son, before Ivan passed away, took over the franchise and made Ghostbusters Afterlife, which is the film that came out a couple years back. And now Jason wrote this new one, but has passed on the directing helm to a guy named Gil Keenan, who's a childhood friend of his. And Gil had talked about how they sat down with Ivan before he passed and pitched this new movie to him, and Ivan apparently loved it. So this new movie, Frozen Empire, as Cakes was saying, basically deals with a new monster or a new ghost coming to light, freezing the city. And there's an aspect of like the classic nature. But to me, the characters in this are great. Paul Rudd, Carrie Coon, if you know The Leftovers and Gone Girl, she's one of the big stars of the movie as well. And then Jason's friend, Paul Rudd, who's fantastic.
My boy Patton Oswalt's in it from Broad Run High School in Ashburn, Virginia. Oh, yeah, he was local.
Yeah. Hold on. Patton Oswalt went to Broad Run High School?
Went to Broad Run, grew up in Sterling, Virginia.
I knew he had local ties. I didn't know they were quite that local.
Yes, absolutely.
Who knew that Ghostbusters was filled up with Jason Bishop's friends? This is wild.
Well, I don't know Patton, but yeah, I know that he's from the area.
Silly. So anyways, this movie, I thought it was fun. My only problem with the film is it's a little too exposition heavy. I think one of my biggest problems nowadays with movies and TV shows is when you're taking on classic stories like Ghostbusters, they feel the need to over-explain to the audience what the backstory is. You know what I mean? Like when we sit down for Ghostbusters, we already know the story.
Yeah, you don't need to keep explaining. We know the premise. We
right.
get it.
And I think I'm probably guilty of that too. I ramble on when I'm doing my own reviews. But I think at the end of the day, they're trying to capture a new audience and an old audience at the same time.
Right.
And to me, I'll give a great example of this. So everybody knows this. In cinema, there's exposition. And exposition is basically when characters explain to other characters what's going on in the story so that the audience can understand where we're at. And when I was a kid, I saw Terminator 2 before I saw Terminator 1. And the reason I bring this up is because I watched Terminator 2 first, I didn't need to see 1 because James Cameron did such a good job with exposition explaining the story of 1 that I was there. But they did it in a very smart way. And I'll tell this very briefly. There's a scene in Terminator 2 where Linda Hamilton, obviously she's in that hospital, and the character who runs the hospital has visitors. And he's walking down the hallway explaining to the visitors why Linda Hamilton is in the hospital. And he's basically telling you the entire plot of Terminator 1 in that 1 minute walk.
Kind of funny,
and
Kevin. I actually watched that scene last night. It was on like I don't know, Freeform. So I saw T2. I was like, well, I'm definitely going to watch. And it was the scene in the hospital where the bad Terminator shows up and morphs into the fat cop and then pokes his eye out with his pointer finger. And then they break Linda Hamilton out. It's a great scene.
Dude, and it's amazing. So yeah, and so to me, if you do exposition well, you can retell a story that the audience may or may not know already, and then you thrust them into the new movie. The new Ghostbusters kind of does too much of that. But back to what you're talking about, Cakes, dude, T2 is my favorite movie of all time. Little fun movie trivia fact. That scene when he turns into the other cop, mm-hmm. those are twin brothers.
Yeah.
So back then, you know, obviously CG was kind of like becoming a new thing. And I think the CGI in the film looks better than most movies today, but they had to hire two brothers, two twins, to film that scene. That's why it looks so good. Really cool moment.
Kevin, let's move on to A Gentleman in Moscow. I know you want to review that. It's 94% fresh on Rotten Tomatoes with Ewan McGregor. I don't know if it looks like quite my cup of tea, but the reviews are good.
Yeah, so I've seen episode one so far. This is on Paramount Plus with Showtime, and this is called A Gentleman in Moscow. A lot of people are excited about this because it's based on an international best-selling book. Basically, he plays a count, and this is like shortly after the Russian Revolution, and his character is banished to spend years in the attic of a hotel in Russia, in Moscow. And so it's kind of like this exploration of the political element of that time, what was going on in the world at that time, but also his character and his exploration. And the book itself, from what I understand, people loved it. I one of my coworkers said it's one of the best books they've ever read. I've not read the book, so my only particular interpretation of it is from the first episode that I saw, and I thought it was excellent. I think Ewan McGregor is fantastic. His wife, Mary Elizabeth Winstead, is also in the movie, in the show as well. So if that's something you're interested in, or if you've seen or read the book, that's available now. I want to say either the first or the first two episodes are out today. And then one of the things that Showtime and Paramount Plus do, which I think is great, is the week-to-week release, like kind of like Apple TV Plus with like Masters of the Air, where you're waiting week to week because it's a little more like old school. You digest the material, you have time to kind of like anticipate that next episode, like we used to do with Sopranos and Seinfeld. And I don't know, I just kind of miss that appointment style of television. So that's kind of what this series is versus the Netflix model where they just drop everything all at once and you just binge it all in a weekend and you just forget about it. So this is kind of in that realm. So that's one of your other options this weekend as well. So those are the two things. And listen, I know it's kind of glaring. I wasn't able to see the Godzilla movie. My schedule, just with all the interviews and stuff I've been doing, I had this huge, we had this Kevin Hart event this past Sunday. So my week's been kind of just crazy. So I will get to that hopefully soon.
When's that coming out?
That's out today.
Oh, it's out today.
I was texting Drav. I was like, dude, I'm really sorry, but I wasn't able to see Godzilla before our review today. But so that's why we had to.
And that's another Godzilla versus King Kong movie.
Yeah, I mean these movies make a lot of money, man. It's probably going to do 55 or 60 million this weekend. And I don't know. For me, after I saw Godzilla Minus One, because Drab had texted me after Godzilla Minus One came out, and he's like, "Dude, you got to go see this."
All beat you to the punch on Godzilla Minus One. You were the last person, I think, in the United States to see Godzilla Minus One.
I haven't seen it.
Pretty good.
I think my biggest problem with the Godzilla movies and these big monster movies is Godzilla Minus One pointed out a glaring issue, is that Godzilla Minus One was a human story.
Right.
And so Godzilla became the background, which makes Godzilla much scarier because you're focusing on the human story of post-World War II, a character who's feeling shame. Godzilla is obviously a looming factor, but you're more focused on the human story and what the character's doing. The problem with these big budget Godzillas outside of Skull Island is they focus way too much on the heavy CGI and the monsters rather than giving you an emotional narrative to stick with. And I get it. I understand the idea of just a dumb popcorn movie, but I also think that audiences deserve a little bit better material. And that's why Godzilla Minus One was kind of so glaring. I mean, wasn't it kind of shocking, Cakes, to see a movie that had great story with the Godzilla aspect to it?
Yeah, it was a welcome departure.
It was entertaining to you,
opinion.
Wasn't it? Did you give it like a 4.5?
I think I gave it either 4.5 or 4.75.
He loved it. Yeah, I haven't seen it yet.
It's very good.
Yeah. Hey, Kevin, name one of the college basketball teams in the Sweet 16 that won last night.
He might know.
One of the four.
He's a sports dork all of a sudden.
I have not been following March Madness. I'm just going to say Iowa State. I don't know if that's one of them.
That's incorrect. They lost. I mean, at least you knew they played.
He called that they were there.
Yeah, that's true. All right.
Yeah. That was very close, Kevin.
All right, Kevin,
got to
run.
You guys real quick. Yep. I want to put a movie on your radar before
all right.
I go.
Yes.
I saw it yesterday. I can't give my official review on it yet. Jason, I'll text you afterwards.
Mm-hmm.
Look up a movie called Civil War.
Oh, I saw the...
Guns N' Roses did a silly song.
I think I mentioned this a few weeks ago when I saw the trailer.
It is Kirsten Dunst,
yep.
And it deals with a civil war in our country. Nick Offerman plays the president, and it's about a group of photojournalists who are literally photographing a war as it's happening in our country. And I got to tell you right now, I am still processing what I saw, and I will give into the review as we see it.
Seem a little overwhelmed by it, Kevin.
It's got the actor that played the dork in Friday Night Lights, right?
Yeah, Jesse Plemons.
Right.
And Jesse Plemons is married to or with Kirsten Dunst in real life.
That's right.
I will tell you this: the reactions out of South by Southwest are kind of all you need to read. I can't go into my full review or rating yet, but I'm just going to let you guys know this is a movie you need to have on your radar. I think it's a film that we're going to be talking about for a long
Kevin
time.
Clearly and loves it.
When does it? Is it released in theaters or is this online somewhere?
April 12th, and the guy who directed it directed Ex Machina and Annihilation. He also wrote 28 Days Later. His name is Alex Garland.
Right.
It's an A24 film, and I think I just. That's all I will say for now, but just want to tee that up because
the way, at the end of Ex Machina, that guy is so bitter. He's so upset. He's so
dude,
mad.
Ex Machina is a masterpiece.
It's pretty good.
So that's Alex Garland's first movie he ever directed, and then this is his latest one. So just team that up.
All right, we'll keep
everybody
it on our radar. Kevin, we got to run.
April 12th.
Always
right.
Good to talk to you. We'll talk to you again soon.
All right, talk to you guys next Friday. Love you guys.
All right, Ricky, that's Kevin McCarthy.
I love effing with Kevin McCarthy.
Entertainment reporter.
I do not have Paul Rudd's cell.
You definitely had him on the hook.
Oh, yeah.
Big time on the hook.
But hopefully he doesn't hear the actual truth and he thinks that for the rest
of his
life.
He took that bait big time.
Right.
All right, when we come back, we'll get into the Commanders. It was Drake May's pro day. I think the Commanders brass was pretty interested. We'll get into some audio of that next here on The Fan.
Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
Coming up in 20 minutes, we'll give you a chance to win a pair of tickets to see Live, Stone Temple Pilots, and Soul Asylum at Jiffy Lube Live. We will give those tickets away at 7:45. So we wanted to get into the Commanders here. It's been a busy week for them. They've been flying all over the place, down to Baton Rouge for Jaden Daniels Pro Day. Mm-hmm. Yes, 2 days ago. Then they fly to Chapel Hill because Drake May's pro day was
all over the place.
UNC yesterday. So it's been a busy group. We have some interesting audio. This has been tweeted by @WeWantDallas on Twitter. tweeted it yesterday. This is audio of a Boston radio host. His name is Cerrone Battle, who was at Drake May's pro day because the Patriots pick high as well. I mean, right.
They pick three.
They could be picking Drake May. They could be picking Jaden Daniels. We don't know who the Patriots are going to be picking because the Commanders obviously have the number two pick. So here is some boots on the ground audio from Cerrone Battle, who was up close and personal during Drake May's pro day yesterday in North Carolina.
What did you see today, Cerrone?
Well, I was sitting there. I don't think I was supposed to be where I was, but I was right on the sidelines to his right. And there was a couple 49ers and Jets scouts, whatever, standing right next to me. He made a rollout throw with somebody in his face about 50 yards down the sidelines, and they started singing the OJ song, Money, 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 Money. So I don't know what the fans, whatever, but from what I saw in the responses of some of the other coaches, Dan Quinn saw a throw. He shook his head and started walking like he was leaving. He saw enough. And I mean, by they were impressed, and they were telling everybody they were impressed. These are the NFL guys. These aren't the fans, whatever. And I've been to Patriots training camp and all this stuff. I've been down on Drake May. But he did make throws you see in person that were better than anything I saw at training camp last year. And it was oohs and ahs from the NFL people, and there wasn't fans in there. And like I said, Niners, Jets, couple other teams, Dan Quinn, they were singing OJ's money, 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 money. And I don't know if that tells you anything, but I don't think they was down on Drake May as Twitter is. Yes, he did throw the throw into the stands. I was on that side where he threw it. But out of 60 throws, 58 of them were hitting the guys in the hands. Most of the coaches, some of them were standing behind the quarterbacks. The more he threw, about 40, 50 throws in, Elliott Wolf, of all people, crept up behind him and was standing right behind the UNC coaches and all those guys. He was the only one that got a little closer. So if they're giving hints that they're out on him, he definitely looked like he was very interested. But I can clearly tell by the reactions by all the coaches and scouts that were there, and they were shaking their head and grinning. So I think the guys at the top of the draft, he's going to be gone by the time you get the fourth or whatever. But yeah, my honest opinion, the way Elliott Wolf and Mayo was reacting, they're not trading out of that pick.
So my quick takeaway from that is I remember a few years ago during Zach Wilson's pro day, he had some throws that were wowing the scouts and were kind of jaw dropping type of throws.
Right.
And people were like, oh my God, look at this arm talent on Zach Wilson.
And then he goes two.
And he flames out.
Yeah.
So like you just have to take it with a little bit of a grain of salt, but from
the physical tools are there.
The physical tools are there, yeah. And the fact
and maybe
that
he does have to work on some of the fundamentals. Like Logan said,
specifically mentioned that Dan Quinn saw one of the throws and just kind of like
shook his head
and intimated that okay, well,
that's all I need to see. He's legit.
I've seen what I need to see on this trip to Carolina. He's a kid that I could probably work with if you selected him at number two.
Right,
is kind of the vibe that Cerrone Battle was giving off there from his reporting, from being on the sideline during Drake May's pro day. And it kind of dovetails with, if you saw some of the videos, like Dan Quinn is there with his hat turned backwards and he's kind of looking at Drake May like it's his own kid. Like his own kid just did something amazing, you know, like your kid graduates or your kid does whatever in life. You're like, gets their first job. Like you're excited about something your kid is doing. That's the kind of look that he had when he was interacting with Drake May, I guess, after the throwing session at Chapel Hill.
Yeah,
and
I mean,
also you have the reports that that Kingsbury was basically hip to hip with the offensive coordinator for UNC
Carolina.
throughout the pro
asking
day.
Asking him questions, right.
Yeah, so, I mean, the Commanders, they're clearly doing a deep dive on Drake May, as they should. They have to decide whether it's him or Jaden Daniels. Or, I mean, I know J.J. McCarthy's name has crept up in the last few days as to who's going to get selected.
I wonder if their reactions were the same when they saw Daniels and when they saw J.J.
Right.
You know what I mean? Look, pro days, these guys, we haven't heard any negatives really from any of these guys on their pro days. They've looked pretty good, all of them. You know, maybe J.J. was the best, who knows. But I know Penix looked good yesterday, too.
Yeah, and Drab wants to do a victory lap for hyping
up Penix. He ran a sub-4.6.
I think you guys owe me money.
We do?
I do.
We all owe you
money? I think you guys agreed to give me $1 each if he ran a 4.5.
Oh, okay. I'll give you a dollar. I don't remember that, but all right. But as far as May is concerned, I mean, you know, Logan made some really good points mm-hmm. when we had him on at 6:20. He said, you know, if I had to draft someone right now at two
yep.
who was going to start week one next year, it would be Daniels or JJ. But he goes, well, but if it's about, you know, a year and a half, 2-3 years down the road, upside-wise, he'd say Drake May.
Right.
So maybe that's the key, or maybe Drake May is accelerating in terms of his fundamentals. We'll see. I mean, I have no idea. Do you think the Commanders know right now, today, when they wake up, which they already have, I'm mm-hmm. sure, do you think they know who they're taking it to?
No.
They're still pondering.
I think they're going to take all of this intel that they're gathering on Daniels and May and McCarthy that they've gotten over the past few days. They're mm-hmm. going to bring it back to Ashburn. And why would
and
they already have
over.
A decision made? Like, they still have a month, you know, a little under a month to make their final decision. I don't think any final decision has been reached at this point.
Just wondering. I mean, there's a chance they know. Who knows?
Right.
I mean, the Bears probably know.
I think,
but who knows if Washington,
I would assume
Peters
the Bears
know
who they're going to select at this point.
Yeah.
I mean, all of the odds and all of the betting mm-hmm. angles right now are pointing towards Caleb Williams.
Correct.
So if that's the pick, I would assume they're kind of settled in on who they're going to select.
Well, I haven't really noticed any of the mock drafts, Drabby. Are the mock drafts reacting to pro days yesterday? Based on
I don't know if any mock drafts have come out in the last 12 hours. I could search for you, but
the one I saw yesterday was before the pro days was Pete Prisco, and he had four quarterbacks going in the top four. He had Daniels going to Washington, McCarthy going mm-hmm. to the Pats, and then he had the Vikings trading up to four to get May.
Right.
So he had 1, 2, 3, 4 quarterbacks, which has never happened before.
So kind of dovetailing off of the Drake May pro day, I don't know if we touched on this yet. The Commanders made another wide receiver move yesterday.
Oh, really? I missed that.
A depth move, if I had to guess. This is reported by Tom Pelissero. Olamide Zaccheaus or agrees to terms with the Commanders. Now, he's not a household name.
Who was he with last year? Philly?
He was with Philly. He had been with Atlanta the four seasons prior.
Right.
His high in receptions is 40. He had that in 2022. He's a depth guy, and maybe this is a, hey, Deami Brown, this guy might be coming for your job type of signing,
mm-hmm.
in my opinion. You know, just a guy to add to the rotation. He's not a guy who's going to make a lot of end zone trips. His top scoring output, both 21 and 22, he had 3 touchdowns in each of those years. But, you know, another guy to add to that receiving core, add some competition, add some depth to whoever the number two selection is going to be.
So basically, I think they've got to be number one in the league in terms of free agent signings.
Probably.
They got to be pretty close to the top of the league.
If they're not number one, they're right up there.
Yeah. I think if you include Zaccheaus from yesterday, I think they've added 19 new guys.
Right.
It might be 20, but it's near 20.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah, so right now, if you look at the wide receiver depth chart, you got obviously McLaurin, Dotson, Deami Brown. Now you add Zaccheaus in there, Crowder, you know, Mitchell Tinsley still on the roster. So are they going to draft somebody pretty high? We'll see. Dude, I mean, Cakes would love for them to draft, to move up in the first round, maybe trade some of their future mm-hmm. picks, move up to late first and take another receiver. I think they should get another receiver.
And look. Adam Peters knows what he's doing. He knows this is obviously a deep wideout class.
Mm-hmm.
So maybe he's just thinking, well, why am I going to part with draft capital and move up? I don't need to do that. I can just wait at 36 or 40 if I see somebody I like there.
Or you got 3 picks in the third round. Use one of those.
Or I go into the third round. Or he signs guys like cheap guys like Olamide Zaccheaus, and he doesn't feel like he needs to make a big splash in the draft with the wideout. Mm-hmm. I don't know. I don't know what direction he's going to go in. Because obviously we're focusing most of our attention on what they're going to do at number two.
Right. Yeah, so May had a good pro day. JJ had a good pro day.
It's just funny
Daniels had a pretty good pro day.
We try to read so much into
pro days
yeah. and what sort of interaction they're having on the sidelines with these guys. I know that in Jaden Daniels' pro day, there was a video of him walking on the field, bouncing a basketball on the turf field. And then he, I guess, weaves through a bunch of the executives and then mm-hmm. winds up at the end
uh-huh.
dapping up Adam Peters.
Right.
who's obviously the GM here.
Right, and people see that and go, oh, he's the guy.
Right.
Peters loves him.
Right, so.
Was Peters at May's pro day or was
Peters
it just Quinn?
I believe Peters was there too. There too,
yeah.
I think they just hopped on the bird from Louisiana, flew to Carolina, the whole contingent, to see Drake May throw.
Mm-hmm. Well, look, the Commanders have less than a month. Probably, I don't know, 20
draft starts
6 days
April
or something.
25th.
You got less than a month to make that decision. It's
yep.
got to be a good one. And whoever you draft, you got to coach them up. You got to make them better.
Mm-hmm.
This is a big deal. This could make or break Dan Quinn and the entire staff.
If I had to go with recency bias, the way Dan Quinn was looking at Drake May was, I got to have that.
Yeah.
I got to have that talent. So, but again, that's the most recent thing I've seen. I didn't see any Dan Quinn interaction with Jaden Daniels from his pro day.
Mm-hmm.
But I did see some at UNC.
But he could have had the similar reactions.
Sure,
we don't know.
Sure.
We have
just
no
don't
idea.
Know. I did notice he kept his hat backwards.
He loves that.
The question is, does he do it on game day?
Yeah.
Or does he bow to pressure and become a forward hat guy when the real bullets start flying in September?
Well,
only
now,
time will tell.
Look, again, we've talked about their draft selections. 6 picks in the top 100.
Yep.
They got really good draft capital. But that number 2 pick has to be the one. I'm not saying he's got to be a Hall of Famer. Be nice if he is. But they've got to hit on that number 2. And he's got to be a playoff quality quarterback by year 3.
In your opinion, what are the odds right now, March 29th, that Adam Peters trades out of the number 2 pick?
Zero.
Zero?
Yeah, I think it's zero.
Zero?
Yeah, I think it's zero. I don't think they're trading out.
I don't think it's zero. I think it's low. I think it's probably 5 to 10%.
I don't think it's that high.
I don't think it's zero.
Well, again, we have no idea who they really love. But if they really love Daniels or May, they're not trading out.
Because teams that are not in the range to pick guys like May and Daniels,
mm-hmm.
they're horny to get up there in the top 3 because – at Jaden Daniels' pro day, Antonio Pierce was there, and the Raiders aren't anywhere near the top 3. Like,
right,
they're picking
right.
at 13, I believe.
Right.
So they got to move up 10 spots to get in the
they
spot
gotta give up
that
a
they
lot.
Want. We yeah. know that the Vikings, who have 2 first-round picks, would love to get into the top 4 or 5. There's a lot of buzz. They're going to trade both number 1 picks to move up to 4 to pick whichever quarterback's left of the group of May, Williams, Daniels, McCarthy. So there's a lot of buzz around those top picks.
There's a lot of buzz. I just think that Washington really needs to hit on this guy.
Yeah.
And if New England wasn't right behind them needing a quarterback mm-hmm. as well,
right.
let's just say it was another team that was already set a quarterback,
mm-hmm.
I could see it happening maybe. But since they have to draft a quarterback, I don't see Peters trading out a number 2.
Yeah.
I don't.
Don't forget, coming up at 8 o'clock, we'll be joined by John Feinstein at 7:45. Listen for your chance to win tickets to Live and Stone Temple Pilots.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can waste another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can conquer it. I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. Any road. The steeper, the better. Because my all-new Santa Fe is available with H-Track all-wheel drive, so I can hit the trail without a worry in the world. Heck, with 3 rows and best-in-class rear cargo space, I can pack the whole family in with all our gear. We've got available dual wireless charging for our phones, so we'll never lose touch with civilization, and we won't lose touch with the primordial power of Mother Earth. So which is it? Waste the weekend or do something a little more epic? And conquer it in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai. There's joy in every journey.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of 4 amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get 4 iPhone 15s on us and 4 lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Here on the Fan. Prize Pigs of the World Unite. Now is your time. Caller number 10 at 800-636-1067 on the MGM National Harbor Listener Lines. You'll score two tickets to Live and Stone Temple Pilots, the Jubilee Tour, special guest Soul Asylum, also on the bill, Wednesday, September 4th at Jiffy Lube Live. Tickets are on sale now. For tickets and more event info, visit thefandc.com/events. Those tickets are courtesy of Live Nation. So caller 10 right now. You will be victorious, my friend. All right, wanted to get into a promotion for a rival NL East team to the Washington Nationals, the Miami Marlins. I believe they're called the Miami Marlins now. They used to be the Florida Marlins.
Right. They are the Miami Marlins.
The Miami Marlins. So they struggled with attendance.
Yes.
They struggled to put butts in the seats. So they come up with a pretty ingenious idea. For certain home games this year, they have what they're dubbing all-you-can-eat stadium seats.
Okay.
Where in certain parts of the ballpark, I think it's mostly in right field seats, you can buy a ticket for $52 to the game that includes an all-you-can-eat menu, including hot dogs, chili dogs, nachos. I don't know why you have to put this next part. Nachos with cheese,
right,
instead of just nachos with nothing to dip them in.
Right.
Nachos with cheese, chili nachos, cheeseburgers, popcorn, peanuts, cookies, non-alcoholic drinks like soft drinks, soda, and water. $52. That's a pretty good deal.
It seems like it, because if you are just buying hot dogs and burgers and nachos at a stadium,
right,
I mean, you're gonna, it's an arm and a leg.
Mm-hmm.
Right?
It can
well, I mean, what's
pricey.
A hot dog at a Nats game?
It's got to be what? Like
$8?
Probably $8 or $9, I would guess. I don't have their menu
in
front of me.
It's got to be up there, right? Nachos probably more.
Nachos are probably, they'll probably set you back $10, $11.
Yeah. It sounds like a good deal. Should the Nats offer that?
I mean, I guess, I'm sure they'll keep an eye on it.
Because their attendance was a little bit dicey last year.
Right.
And for a lot of reasons.
There are some restrictions to the deal. They're in designated sections in right field. Food and drinks are cut off after the seventh inning.
Mm-hmm.
So you got to load up before the seventh inning, fifth or sixth inning. If you're still hungry, make your run to the concession stand and get that last bit of popcorn or nachos, whatever it is. Beer is available at an additional cost, but obviously it's not all you can drink.
Yeah.
I mean, they
can't do that.
They can't just do like all you can drink bits like,
right, for a penny.
Like bars used to do. When I was in college, back when dinosaurs roamed the earth, when they would have $10 all-you-can-drink specials.
Right. People, dollar pitchers.
And people just drink themselves into oblivion.
Yeah.
Like, you can't do that at a Major League Baseball stadium.
You're definitely going to make out if you, because if you just go to a restaurant or a baseball game and you go to the snack shop,
mm-hmm,
and you're going to get hot dogs and burgers and nachos, you're going to spend way more than $52. Yeah.
And it makes sense because in 2023, the Marlins were 29th out of 30 MLB teams in attendance with 14,356 per game. So they're looking to give that a jolt. They need some people coming through the turnstiles. They need more people at their ballpark. Makes sense. Like the idea.
Is that the only team that offers that?
I think that's the only team at this point that offers a deal like that. Now, here's something else the Marlins are doing that I don't know that I'm that crazy about. You tell me how you feel about this, Jason. In addition to that all-you-can-eat package, the Marlins are also permitting musical instruments to be brought into the stadium.
Hmm.
Now, most of the instruments are in the percussion family.
Right,
including
the drums.
Bongos, congas, and this is the one that kind of tilts me. If somebody was sitting next to me with a trumpet.
That would suck.
Can you imagine somebody blowing a trumpet in your ear for 8 or 9 innings of a Marlins game? I might be tilted. I'm not going to lie.
Who does that? There's another fan base that does that. Is it Oakland?
Now, Drab said that this is kind of a nod to the World Baseball Classic because it's more of like a festive party atmosphere, people bringing instruments in.
They also had the Caribbean series there earlier this winter,
and
it was like a crazy festive atmosphere where everybody's bringing drums and flags and going nuts in the crowd. I mean, that is a lot more of like Latino baseball,
right?
Is very passionate, and you're going to get that, and that's what made the World Series, or the World Baseball Classic, I mean, so awesome a year ago.
correct me if I'm wrong, but going back to the World Cup, I think in 2010, it was held in South Africa. Everybody was bringing those vuvuzelas into the stands. Uh-huh. And I remember watching those games. It sounded like you're watching a game inside like a hornet's nest. Mm-hmm. Just the buzzing from those vuvuzelas was driving me crazy. And that was from just watching on TV. That wasn't even being in the stands. I understand I'm coming off like a curmudgeon. I'm an old guy shaking my fist at the sky. But I don't think, if I went to Nats Park and there's a guy blowing a bugle or a trumpet in my ear from the next seat.
I'm leaving.
I'm probably not going to be happy.
Right, of course.
Right? Am I on an island here? You guys are looking at me like I'm a crazy person.
I've heard you go nuts for the dumb "Let's Go Caps" horn at the hockey rink a million times. So what's dumb Allville family is up there going, "Let's go Caps!
Let's go Caps!" We're the only family doing it in the whole building.
So why is it okay? Why is it okay?
I don't know that I'm that crazy about the horn. You know, I'm glad you brought that up. You know what I miss at a Caps game? I heard it in Scotiabank last night. While the Caps were getting drummed by the Maple Leafs. You know what I miss? The organ. You can punt that horn and the horn guy into the sun as far as I'm concerned. I'm a loud goat guy, and I'm an organ guy.
Oh, that's right. They don't
I miss
have
the
it.
Organ.
They took it away.
Look at that. Look at that smile. Look at that smile.
We got you.
Okay, but here's the difference. It's one guy with a horn. It's not 8,000 people bringing a horn into the arena. There's a big difference. There's a huge difference, actually. But, side note, I miss the organ. Please bring the organ back. All organs are fun. They're fun, and they go hand in hand with hockey games. Please bring the organ back for the two games that I attend in person every single season. Please bring it back.
There was a tweeter. I think he covers the Nats for FanSided. He's a contributor. The Nats, before the season started, invited certain members of the media in to check out what's new at Nats Park, the scoreboard, concession, things like that. Mm-hmm. So he tweeted seven, and he took a picture of the concession stand at Nats Park. He said $7.99 hot dog is the most expensive in the league. $7.49 for a soda is now most expensive in the league. Nats beer prices were $4 more than the second most expensive last year, and it looks like they went up again. Third lowest payroll in baseball. Go to hell, learners.
Oh, man.
Most expensive hot dog.
I did see that somebody pointed out, if you want to buy an icy at Nats Park, I think it's $9.99.
Yeah.
You go to 7-Eleven, you buy a Slurpee. The biggest Slurpee on the planet is probably $2.
Yeah.
A Dasani.
Yeah.
$6.
Oh, that's crazy.
Smart Water, $7. Bottled soda, $7.50 for a 20-ounce soda, $7.50.
Can't you bring in your own sodas?
I think you can.
You can now.
You can, maybe
as long as they're not canned.
You
or
definitely can bring
glass.
In waters because that's the selling point for all the people on Half Street. As you walk in, they're like, you can bring water inside. You can bring two.
And I think they sell them for $1.
I think they sell them for a buck or two outside.
Yeah, maybe $2.
It's definitely, it's great.
I thought now. Well, I think at Oriole Park you can start bringing in a Coca-Cola product or a soda. You can bring in a Coke Zero to watch the Orioles as long as it's in
you
a
can
plastic
bring in a bottle.
Plastic bottle.
Mm.
I you know what? That's innovation. That's called progress, Valdez. I like that. It's a good deal.
So the Nats have the most expensive hot dogs and sodas in the league.
With relish, right, Kate?
and looks like the beer, too.
Of relish.
Right.
All that's the relish. By the way, Valdez, we'll pull the curtain back. Yesterday, Valdez was on Twitter.
Radio Insider.
And I guess the Orioles, they have, instead of president's races.
They have a hot dog race.
They have a hot dog race. Yeah. And Valdez is always team relish.
Uh-huh. Yeah.
So he tweeted that yesterday, and he got bombarded. He got rombarded with people saying, "Oh, relish stinks."
Right.
Well, it's just they think I'm talking about the condiments.
The actual
on my hot dog, do like relish on my hot dog.
Sure,
so
doesn't?
Do I.
Yeah.
But every Oriole fan knows that you're team relish.
In my opinion, perfect hot dog, bun, obviously, mustard, finely chopped onions, relish.
Hey, you know
that's a great hot dog.
You know,
hold the onions.
I brought in hot dogs and brats from yesterday because I like to have one on opening day.
Fantastic.
So if you guys want a hot dog or a brat, I brought in the sauerkraut. Ooh. I brought in the onion. There's mustard.
A lot of food options today.
Oh, wow.
If you guys would like a hot dog today.
Okay. Uh-huh. All right, let's go out to the phones real quick.
I am getting kind of hungry.
Let's go to Jake.
Sauerkraut? You like sauerkraut?
I don't like sauerkraut. Sorry.
Jake, good morning.
Good morning. Yeah, sauerkraut's awful. onions and peppers. That's it. No, good morning, guys. Hey, real quick, talking about the prices for food and beer and stuff at Nats Park. So there are a couple different sections. I'm sure you guys know this, where food and drinks are included with tickets. The average fan spends about $80 to $100, depending on if it's just them or something with them with their kid, on food and drinks. So there are tickets that are a little bit more expensive, but you get everything included, and it goes past the seventh inning. Sometimes there's a little, like, after party after the game. Like, behind home plate, they have some tickets. Sometimes they're around, like, $250 each. But if you do the math, then you get a lot more bang for your buck, and you don't have to worry about the price of beer or anything like that. So just putting my 2 cents in there.
Okay. Thanks, Jake. Appreciate that input as people will be heading out to Nats Park for opening day. That is Monday, April 1st.
What time is that game?
I believe the gates open at 2 p.m.
I'll
have to look at the start time for that. And we'll be giving away tickets to opening day coming up in just under an hour. We'll do that at 8:45, so be sure to keep listening.
They play at 4 that day, 4 or 5.
For your chance to win those tickets. But next, we'll be joined by John Feinstein here on The Fan.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.